الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على افضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الامين وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في سورة الجمعة اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يسبح لله ما في السماوات وما في الارض الملك القدوس العزيز الحكيم هو الذي بعث في الاميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم اياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمه وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين وآخرين منهم لما يلحقوا بهم وهو العزيز الحكيم ذلك فضل الله يؤتيه من يشاء والله ذو الفضل العظيم صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم ربنا ألهمنا رشدنا وأعصمنا من شرور أنفسنا اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى آمين يا رب العالمين Dear brothers and sisters and sons and daughters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and praying and hoping for His help, we are beginning the study of the third lesson of the fourth part of the selected course of study of the Quran that we are discussing in these lectures. This third lesson consists of Surah Al-Jum'ah, and I told you that Surah Al-Jum'ah and Surah Al-Saf are a very beautiful example of the pairs of the surahs of Quran. We discussed this issue many a times, that most of the surahs of the Quran are in pairs. There are very few exceptions. The general rule of creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which He Himself has enunciated in Surah Az-Zariyat, Ayah 49, is that we have created all things in pairs. وَمِن كُلِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَا زَوْجَيْنِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. And this rule appears to be so final and binding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept it in view in the Quran also, that all the surahs, most of the surahs, are in pairs. Now what is this pair relationship between the surahs of the Quran? The two constituents of a pair, they must have, number one, something or a few things which are common between them. There must be some similarity. And then they should be complementary to each other. If all the animals, they have two sexes, and the males and the females are similar to each other, but there is a difference also. But this difference is complementary, because actually the preservation of the species, the progeny, is actually, this purpose is served by the difference in the sexes. Otherwise, a cow and the ox, they are very similar to each other. A he-goat and a she-goat are very similar to each other. The difference is very small. And then that difference is actually for some purpose. And it complements, both complement each other in that purpose. So now we should study what are the similarities between Surah Al-Saf and Surah Al-Jum'ah. And then what are the aspects of complementariness between the two. Surah Al-Saf started, سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Surah Al-Jum'ah has started, يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Now there is a similarity also. Both the surahs are beginning with tasbih. But there is a difference also. سَبَّحَ, this is past tense. And يُسَبِّحُ, This is in Arabic, is called the fi'l mudara, which contains both present tense and the future tense. Now what is the result? That as if the whole time has been encompassed, the past, the present and the future, by using two words. Similarity is there, سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ. But the difference is past tense and fi'l mudara, which covers both present and future tenses. So go ahead, the whole time, the total three, past, present and future, they are covered and encompassed by using these two words in the beginning of these two surahs. Then number two, we find in Surah As-Saff, the purpose for which Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ. And we find in Surah Al-Jumu'ah the basic methodology. The basic methodology with which Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed the persons, and then those persons constituted the party, the Hizbullah, which waged jihad for the cause of Allah. So these two things are complementary. The purpose of the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam discussed in Surah Al-Saff, his basic methodology that has been discussed in Surah Al-Jumu'ah. Then, as we saw in Surah Al-Saff, the mention of Jews, Bani Israel, history of Bani Israel, regarding their attitude towards the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here we shall find the mention again of Yahud, but regarding their attitude with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How they behave with the book? مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِّلُوا الطَّوْرَاتَ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُوا أَسْفَارَ. How they behave with the messengers? وَإِذْقَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ يَا قَوْمِ لِمَ تُعْذُونَنِي وَقَدْ تَعْلَمُونَ أَنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ. Then with Hazrat Masih alayhi salatu wassalam. Then with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So their attitude towards the messengers of Allah and their attitude towards the book of Allah. Now these actually constitute one thing. But one subject is mentioned and discussed in Surah Al-Saff, and the other has been, we shall see it, is discussed in Surah Al-Jumu'ah. And both are mentioned only as a sign of warning for the Muslim Ummah. Lest you should also behave like the Jews. Lest you should also behave with the Messenger of Allah as they behaved. Lest you should also do the same with the Book of Allah, Al-Quran, that is being given to you, that the Jews did with the Book of Allah, that is Torah, that was given to them. Finally, in second sections of both these surahs, there is a commandment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an address to the Muslim Ummah. Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu. The second section of second ruku of Surah Al-Saff also starts with Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, and the second section of Surah Al-Jumu'ah will also, as we shall see inshallah shortly, that also starts with Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu. So these four points are sufficient to make it clear that these two surahs constitute a very beautiful and a very bright example of the pair relationship of the surahs in the Quran. Now the most important point here is the Surah Al-Saff relates to the terminal phases of the revolutionary struggle of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What do I mean by that? The terminal phases of all the revolutions are the same. For every revolution there should be a party. For communist revolution, there was the communist party, the Marxist party. There were the Bolsheviks, there were the Mensheviks in Russia. And they struggled against the system that was prevalent in Russia, that was kingship, the kingdom of Tsars, and they were overthrown. So there was, must be a party. Then this party has to challenge the system. And this challenge is firstly passive challenge, and then it is active challenge. And this active challenge can conclude and can terminate in the form of an armed conflict. So these things have been discussed in Surah Al-Saff. How the party was formed? Man Ansari Ilallah. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calling people, who joins hands with me for the cause of Allah, to establish the deen of Allah on earth. Then those people were called to wage jihad for the cause of Allah. يا أيها الذين آمنوا هل أدلكم على تجارة تنجيكم من عذاب أليم تؤمنون بالله ورسوله وتجاهدون في سبيل الله بأموالكم وأنفسكم. And then it was made clear that the highest spiritual level for a Muslim is when he goes to war for the cause of Allah. He becomes the beloved of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِهِ صَفًّا كَأَنَّهُمْ بُنْيَانٌ مَرْصُوصٌ. So these are the three phases, terminal phases of every revolutionary struggle. A revolutionary party which should challenge its existing system passively and then actively, and it might turn into an armed conflict. But the question is, where to get these people? Where from to get this type of devoted people who are ready to sacrifice everything for the cause of revolution? That is the basic question. Unless you get the people who are committed to a revolutionary ideology, then who are ready to spend everything they have for the cause of that revolution. Now to prepare and call, first of all, to call these people, then to train these people. How to call these people, how to train these people, that is the main subject of Suratul Jumu'ah. That is why the basic and the unood of this surah, that is ayah number 2, هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. Whatever I have said up till now, it can be summed in 2 sentences. Every revolution, first phase is to change individuals and then to change the system. To change the system, you need individuals. Individuals who believe in that system and who are committed with that system, who are convinced about the truth of that system and who are ready to sacrifice everything for that system. Now this is actually the first phase, the initial phase. Then you need to change the system. These people, they take the form of a party and then they raise jihad and qital for the cause of that revolution. So actually, changing the person, the individuals, that is the basic point. As Allama Iqbal has said very beautifully, افراد کے ہاتھوں میں ہے اقوام کی تقدیر, ہر فرد ہے ملت کے مقدر کا ستارہ. Unless individuals are changed, their thinking is changed, their values are changed, their characters are changed, their attitudes are changed, how can you change the system? The system will change only when you have enough number of changed individuals, revolutionized individuals who have accepted a revolutionary ideology from the depths of their hearts and then who are ready to sacrifice everything for the cause of that revolution. So to change the individuals, that is the subject of Surah Al-Jumu'ah. To change the system, that is the subject of Surah Al-Saff. I read a poem, English poem, as I have quoted a few before also, although I don't remember fully. But the beginning, you know, stanza was, not gold, but only men can make a people great and strong. No, not the riches, men, men of character, men who are dedicated, devoted. Not gold, but only men can make a people great and strong. We know today there are many Muslim countries, they have the black gold, they own it, but the honor, respect in the world, they don't have. Because, you know, not gold, but only men can make a people great and strong. Then, you know, another stanza ends with the words, they suffer long for so many cause. They are ready to suffer long. And then they build a nation's pillars deep and lift them to the sky. These people, these changed people, these people who are committed themselves to a cause, who have accepted some ideology, and who are ready to sacrifice everything for their ideology, they are the people who can bring about a revolution. So now, the quintessential essence of the Surah Al-Jumu'ah is that only medium and means and instrument of changing individuals Islamically is the Qur'an. You can change people only through Qur'an. Their thinking, their values, their character, their seerah, everything will be changed through Qur'an. What does Qur'an do? First of all, it attracts from the masses, from the people, from the society, good-natured and well-intentioned people. Just as we studied in the third lesson of the first part, Hazrat Luqman, the example of Luqman, they are all always present in the society, people whose nature is not perverted, they are good-natured people. Then they have good intentions. But they don't know the way, where to go. So such people, they are attracted by Quran. Then Quran hammers in them the faith, the yaqeen, the iman. And this iman actually, first of all, cleanses their thinking. If they have any wrong ideas, because they belong to a society, they must have gone through the educational system of their society. Their society might have brought some wrong thinking in their minds. It has to be cleansed. First of all, the thinking of the individual is to be changed. And now what will happen then? Secondly, then Quran purifies their soul. That is, it makes the intentions correct. To act for Allah. To devote yourself to get the pleasure of Allah. And then Quran makes them firm on two issues. Number one, Tawheed. And Tawheed is the basis of the revolutionary ideology of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As I told you, Allama Iqbal said very beautifully, زندہ قوت تھی زمانے میں یہ توحید کبھی اور اب کیا ہے فقط ایک مسئلہ ہے علم کلام. The three corollaries of توحید, sovereignty belongs to Allah alone, total negation of human sovereignty, whether individual or collective. Neither a man can be sovereign, nor the whole nation can be sovereign, nor for that matter the whole humanity can be. Sovereignty belongs to Allah. إِلْ حُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. Then everything belongs to Allah. He owns everything. Man is the custodian. E amanat chandroda misdama, dar haqeeqat malik-e har shay khuda. What we have today with us is a sacred trust of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He can use these things only according to His permission, His laws. Number three, all human beings are equal by birth. Nobody is high, nobody is low. Because they have been created by the same one creator. So these three corollaries of Tawheed actually, they constitute the revolutionary ideology of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or Islam you may say, on that matter. Number two, Quran emphasizes Akhirah. That the real life is the life of hereafter. وَإِنَّ دَارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانَ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. If somebody really believes in Akhirah, just imagine, if you really believe that I will be resurrected, I'll have to stand before my Lord, and I'll have to face the grand accountability of the Day of Judgment, and then I'll have to have the reward or the punishment. And now that life is eternal. It will never end. Such a person will never hesitate to devote and dedicate and sacrifice everything he has for the sake of Akhirah. Because whatever is spending for the cause of Allah, actually he is not spending it. He is depositing it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will be rewarded, it will be given back. Not only given back, rather it will bring more profits with it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will additionally forgive their sins if they have spent everything for the cause of Allah. So whosoever believes in these two things, Tawheed and then Akhirah, actually now such a person is a revolutionary person in the true sense of the word. He will be ready to sacrifice everything for the cause of that revolution that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought about. That is why this ayah number two, which is the umood of this surah, as I told you, the umood of Surah Al-Saff, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُنْذِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ. The umood or the central axis or the central theme of Surah Al-Jumu'ah, هُوَ الَّذِي بَعْثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّنَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُوْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. Now actually, first of all, you should see, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ هُوَ الَّذِي بَعْثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّنَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ. The similarity of the beginning of these two ayat. But now there's a difference. هو الذي ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. That is the purpose of the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And how he prepared people for that task, the gentle task, the malign task, that is given here. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. That is why you find, just as that ayah of Surah As-Saff, he saw it when he was studying Surah As-Saff, it has been repeated thrice in the Quran. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. Ayah number 33 of Surah At-Tawbah. هو الذي ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا. آية 28 سورة الفتح. هو الذي ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. آية نمبر 9 سورة الصف. In the same way, the main or essential wordings and the terminology used in this ayah number 2 of Surah Al-Jumu'ah, it has appeared in the Quran 4 times. This can give you an idea how important it is to understand the methodology. As I said in some of my lectures before also, that to do something, there is a definite method to do it. You cannot get the results without you are using and the technique that is necessary. That is the way that it should be done. If you are not adopting it, then you may be very sincere. You may be very hard-working, but you won't get the results. I gave you the example. There's a particular season in which wheat can be sowed, and then only you can hope for the harvest. But if you are sowing the seeds of the wheat in wrong season, you may be very sincere, you may be very hard-working, but you will not get the harvest, because you have not taken to the true methodology. So actually the purpose of the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are finding thrice in the Quran, but his basic methodology has been repeated 4 times in the Quran. So that can give you an understanding of the measure of the importance of this methodology. Now please note this ayah, first read here, هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِن قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُّبِينٍ. And now, other examples. وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَاعِيلَ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ رَبَّنَا وَاجْعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكَ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكَ وَأَرِنَا مَنَاسِكَنَا وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ رَبَّنَا وَابْعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Same words, although there's a difference. Here yuzakkihim comes in the end. But all the 3 places you will find, yuzakkihim comes number 2 and yuallimahumul kitaba wal hikmah comes in the end. But the basic wording, terminology is the same. Now actually this was the prayer of Ibrahim and Ismail when they were building Kaaba. They prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, accept from us this service that we are doing for your deen, for your tawheed. We are building this house. رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, so that people should pray here and it should become the center of tawheed. And then, oh Allah, please send and raise from our progeny, which is going to settle here, round your house. In that progeny, you raise a prophet from among themselves. رَبَّنَا وَبَعْثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ. He should be from among them, not some foreigner, not somebody coming from outside, so that there shouldn't be any curtain or any difference of language or any strangeness in between that person, that Nabi, and our progeny. What he should do, يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. Now, this was actually in the 15th section of Surah Al-Baqarah. In the 18th section, Allah declares that we have accepted granted the prayer of our grandfathers, Ibrahim and Ismail, and you see, we have sent Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is from among you, O Quraysh, O progeny of Ismail. We have sent, as was requested and prayed by Ibrahim and Ismail, your grandfather, كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِيكُمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْكُمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِنَا وَيُزَكِّيكُمْ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمْ مَا لَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ. We have sent and we have raised from amongst you a prophet, and what he is doing, he is the same four words. I'll discuss about these four words later. He is reciting unto you the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is purifying your soul. He is teaching you the book and the hikmah, and teaching you what you never knew before. Now for the third time, I don't have the film here, but this issue is discussed in Surah Al Imran also. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِنْ أَنْفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. That ayah Surah Al Imran is very similar in wordings to the ayah number 2 of Surah Al Jumu'ah, which we are discussing at this time. Now before we proceed to focus our lens on this basic terminology of this ayah, first of all, why this change of sequence? When Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salam, they prayed, they said, number 1, يَتْلُوْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ. Then, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. And then, وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. But in the all the three other cases, first of all, تِلَاوَةُ الْآيَاتِ, second, تَزْكِيَةَ, and third, تَعْلِيمُ الْكِتَابِ, and fourth, تَعْلِيمُ الْحِكْمَةَ. So it cannot be without any reason, because this is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there is some difference, there must be some basis, there must be some reason, there must be some wisdom behind it. So wisdom behind it is that actually for the ta'lim of kitab, for the teaching of kitab, first the soul should be purified. Unless the personality from within is purified, unless your intentions are purified, you may get the knowledge. You can gather information and knowledge, and you can have very big amount of knowledge, but it will do no good to you unless your intentions are corrected and rectified first. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so to say, has improved on the prayer of Ibrahim and Ismail. That was also not wrong. Taqiyah can be stated to be the final result. But actually, this is an improvement from Allah ta'ala, that the sequence should be يَتْلُوْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. Because unless the intentions are correct, unless the man is purified from within, the teaching will go in vain. Man will know much, but it will be of no good to him, because he will use this knowledge also for some ulterior purposes, under some ulterior motives. So first of all, actually, purification of the souls must be done, and then the teaching of the book and the teaching of the hikmah, that is the correct sequence. Now please focus our attention on these basic terms. I told you these are terms, because first of all we must understand that Arabic language is not short of vocabulary. Why using the same words again and again? Although it should be, as a rule, in human literature, repeating the same words is not thought to be good. You must change your wordings, not repeating the same words. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is repeating the same words. Why? It must have some basis, some reason. Allah is not short of vocabulary, ma'az Allah. And Arabic language is not short of vocabulary. So many words could be instituted, yatlu alayhim ayatihi, in its place, and tazkiya, and in the same way, ta'limul kitab wal hikmah. But repeating four times the same burdens, it is actually to emphasize the importance of these terms, so that the Muslims should ponder over them and they should focus their high power lenses on these terminology to understand it in depth. As I let me quote Ghalib, he says, Ranjina-e mani ka tanus usko samajhiyo jo lafz ke ghalib mere ashar mein aave. Whatever word I use with intention. Never think that it has come without any purpose. Every word that I use in my poetry, that is definitely a very big prayer of meaning. In the same way he said in Persian, Zere har har lamze ghalib chidam mein khanae. Under every word that Ghalib has used, we have found a treasure, a fountainhead. So actually, this is so to say, an exaggeration. No human wording can be equal to this status. But Allah's kalam, Allah's speech, the words that are used by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these poetry, these ideas are 100% applicable to the book of Allah, to the kalam of Allah. Now first of all, tilawat ayat. Reciting to the people the ayat, that is the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, tazkiyah. Purification of the souls of the people. Number three, talimul kitab. Teaching of the book. That is the law. I will explain it later on. I'm just giving you the equivalents as I understand them. Tilawat wa ayatillah. Reciting to the people the ayat, that is the revelations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tazkiyatun nufus wa yuzakkihim. Purification of the souls of the people, individuals. Talimul kitab. Teaching of the book, that is the law, sharia. Talimul hikmah. Teaching of the wisdom to enable them to make ijtihad. And this is the highest level of the training, the teaching of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now first of all, you must understand that all these four things relate to the Quran. Tilawatul ayat, that is actually the basis of calling people to faith. Ayat, although this word ayat we have seen in the second part of our this selected course of study, that ayat, all the physical phenomena are also called ayat in the Quran. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَا آيَاتٍ لِّأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Verily, in the creation of heavens and the earth, and the differentiation, and coming one after the other of the days and the nights, are the signs for those who use their intellects. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَالْفُلْكِ الَّتِي تَجْرِي فِي الْبَحْرِ بِمَا يَنفَعُ النَّاسَ وَمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مِن مَّاءٍ فَأَحْيَا بِهِ الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا وَبَثَّ فِيهَا مِن كُلِّ دَابَّةٍ وَتَصْرِيفِ الرِّيَاحِ وَالسَّحَابِ الْمُسَخَّرِ بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَآيَاتٍ لِّقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ. Yani all these phenomena, physical phenomena, each one of them is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A sign of His creative activity. A sign of His omnipotence. Is a sign of His omniscience. Is a proof that He has all authority, He has all power, a sign of the proof and proof that He has all the wisdom. So everything is an ayah, a sign, a symbol of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But here this word is used especially for the ayatul Quran, because the verse is yatlu alayhim ayatihi. That is why I translated it. He recites to them the revelation, the ayat of Allah, that is the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is the function of these ayahs? We have discussed these matters in the second part of this selected course of study. That these ayahs activate in man the dormant consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The iman potentially is present in the fitra. Kullu mauludin yuladu ala al-fitra. The Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every person, every human being who is born in this world, every child, he is born as a Muslim. عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ فَأَبَوَاهُ يُحَوَّدَانِهِ أَوْ يُمَجْسَانِهِ أَوْ يُنَسْتِرَانِهِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. It is actually his parents who made him either Christian or Jew or for that matter any other religion. Otherwise, every human child is born with fitrah, fitratul Islam, fitratul Allahi allati fatara an-nasa alayha. And the human soul in which is the spirit. And the spirit comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. Actually this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this ruh, the consciousness of Allah and the love of Allah is present. But it is dormant. To activate it, to awaken into it, the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is actually iman. So this Qur'an, da'wat of Qur'an, call of Qur'an is call to the faith. Call to believe in Allah and His all attributes. And actually this is the basis of the da'wah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He made his dawah through Quran only. He never made lengthy sermons of his own. You don't find that. Always, wherever he went, he presented the Quran. And let me quote here a few ayat from the Quran. Firstly, tazkir. What is tazkir? Reminding. Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, go and remind these people. But through Quran. فَذَكِّرْ بِالْقُرْآنِ مَنْ يَخَافُ وَعِيدٍ. This Quran will awaken in them and will activate in them the consciousness that is lying dormant in their nature. It is in their nature, but actually it is dormant. It is sleeping. So actually to activate it, you go and you use Quran and read out to them the Quran, recite the Quran unto them, and it will awaken in them the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَذَكِّرْ بِالْقُرْآنِ مَنْ يَخَافُ وَعِيدٍ. Then we have seen at many places during this series of lectures that there are basic two terms for the messengers of Allah. Inzar and Tabshir. Ya ayyuhal mudassir, qum fa'anzir. Warning. Wa'anzir ashirataka al-aqrabin. Warn your close relatives. So this Nazir and Bashir, these are the two basic functions. You have to give the glad tidings to those who take to the right path. And you warn those who are going on the and treading on the wrong path. So warning and giving the glad tidings. These are the two basic functions of all the messengers of Allah. That's why we find, Ya ayyuhal nabiyyu inna arsalnaka shahidam wa mubashshiran wa naziran wa da'iyan ilallahi bi'iznihi wa sirajan munira. Then we studied that ayah also. Rusulam mubashshirina wa munzirin. Li'allah yakuna linnasi ala allahi hujjatun ba'da rusul. Wa kana allahu azizan hakeema. Now let me quote you that the commandment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, do inzar through Quran. Do tafsir through Quran. Inzar and tafsir both through Quran. The medium of the dawah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of Quran. Actually this must be understood because we find in our times there's a big movement, a big organization making tabligh, propagating the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but bypassing Quran. Not doing dawah through Quran. While we find in the Quran, فَذَكِّرْ بِالْقُرْآنِ مَنْ يَخَافُ وَعِيدٍ. And now please, the ayat number 9 and 10 from Surah to Bani Israel. إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمُ وَيُبَشِّرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا كَبِيرًا وَأَنَّ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ أَعْتَدْنَا لَهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. This is the Quran, which is guiding them to the right path, and which is giving them the glad tidings that whosoever will believe, have the faith, and do good deeds, for him there will be a big reward. And it is the Quran which is warning them that those who don't believe in the hereafter, for them there is a big punishment awaiting them. So it is Quran which is giving the glad tidings. It is Quran which is guiding them. It is Quran which is warning them. In the same way, ayat number 1 and 2 of Surah Al-Kahf. Alhamdulillahi allazi anzala ala abdihi al-kitaba wa lam yaj'al lahu iwaja. Actually, all praise be to Allah. Qayyiman liyunzira ba'san shadeedan min ladunhu. Yunzira. So that he should warn the people of a big calamity that will befall them. If they don't hear, they don't listen. And don't accept the call of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the call of Quran. وَيُبَشِّرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا حَسَنًا. Tabshir and inzar, both through Quran. And the most profound ayah in this respect is from the last part, that is ayah number 97 of Surah Maryam. فَإِنَّمَا يَسَّرْنَاهُ بِاللِّسَانِكَ لِتُبَشِّرَ بِهِ الْمُتَّقِينَ وَتُنْذِرَ بِهِ قَوْمًا لُّدًّا. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have made this Quran very easy on your tongue or in your language. It can be translated both ways. فَإِنَّمَا يَسَّرْنَاهُ. We have made this Quran very easy. بِلِسَانِكَ. On your tongue or in your language which you are speaking. The language of your people. We have made this Quran very easy. فَإِنَّمَا يَسَّرْنَاهُ بِلِسَانِكَ لِتُبَشِّرَ بِهِ الْمُتَّقِينَ. So that you give the glad tidings through it to those who fear Allah,
who always have regard for Allah, who are always God conscious. By unzila bihi qauman ludda, unzila bihi, and with it you may warn those people who are fighting and who are not ready to accept. Now this is some tanzeer and ibshar o tafsheer, inzar o tanzeer. Everything is to be done through Quran. There is another ayah in Surah Al-An'am, ayah number 19. وَأُوْحِيَ إِلَيَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لِأُنْزِلَكُمْ بِهِ وَمَنْ بَلَغُ. This Quran has been revealed to me so that I should warn you through it. And let me quote another ayah that is from Surah Al-Ma'idah. يَا أَيُّهَا الرَّسُولُ بَلِّغْ مَا أُنْزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ. O Messenger of Allah, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, convey whatever has been revealed to you. So what he has to convey is what has been revealed to him. What has been revealed to him is Quran. So actually, it's the Quran which is to be communicated. It is the Quran which is to be conveyed. And then the hadith, and it has been included by Imam Bukhari in Sahih. It is from Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. The Prophet said, بَلِّغُوا أَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. Convey on my behalf, although you may have only one ayah. Although you might have understood only one ayah. Convey this one ayah. Spread the message of this one ayah. Disseminate the knowledge of this one ayah. You see how extreme. But tabligh is to be done through Quran. بَلِّغُوا أَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. Not your own philosophy, not your own ideologies, not your own, you know, books, no, but Quran. So tazkir bil Quran, inzar bil Quran, tabshir bil Quran, tabligh of Quran. Now these all terms, they constitute the da'wah, the call of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So first of all, the first step of the mission of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to make da'wah to the people, to call people to the path of Allah, to call people towards Allah, but through Quran. Yatlu alayhim ayati. Go and recite unto them our revelations. Convey our revelations to them. So that is the beginning, that the starting point of the revolutionary process of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Disseminate this Quran. Convey this Quran. Propagate this Quran. Do tazkir with Quran. Do tabshir with Quran. Do inzar with Quran. And tabligh of Quran. That is the first, and as I said, the beginning point of the calling of the people. And as I gave you an example, what does this Quran does? It attracts people who are good natured, in whom the nature is not perverted. People whose nature is saleem and salim, as they call in Arabic. Fitrat-e-saleema, qalb-e-saleem. Actually, such people are always present. And this Quran can attract them, just like a magnet. Because the first experiment that we made when we were in the fifth class in high school, the science room, we entered and made the first experiment. There was a mixture of iron filings and some wood carving pieces. How to separate them? Take a magnet. Now, with the magnet, you can have the iron filings separated because they will cling to it. In the same way, Quran will attract those people whose nature is not perverted, who are good-natured or well-intentioned. You can call them. Then you have to weld them into a party, forge them into a party, make out from them a quwwah, a force, and that force will be needed, and that then later will be used for the revolution. Now the second stage of the revolutionary process of preparing individuals for jihad and qital, that is tarbiyah, preparing them, training them. But this training process can be discussed at three levels. First of all, tazkiyah, why you have seen. This is the second word used here. The second word used in Surah Al-Baqarah in the 18th section. The second word used in Surah Al-Imran. يَتْلُوْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِ لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ مِنْهُمْ رَسُولًا مِنْ أَنْفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُوْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. What is this purification of soul? And it is a calamity, really sad, that Quran is not used for this purpose. We Muslims also have left it. I will quote later on
some poetry from Allama Iqbal lamenting on the situation that Muslims have turned away from the Quran. They have made it only an article of getting thawab by reciting it, neither understanding it nor following it, just to recite it so that you can have some reward in the hereafter. Either you want reward for your own self or for the people who are dead. Isal-e-sawab or husool-e-sawab, that is only the purpose of Quran, which for which we are using it. Otherwise, this is the instrument of purification of the soul. First of all, the Quran rectifies the thinking of the human beings. And they come to believe in Allah. They come to believe in hereafter. They come to believe that the life, real life, is the life of hereafter. Now their purification of souls. Quran says in Surah Yunus, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ قَدْ جَاتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. In the form of Quran, O people, to you have come the mawizah, sermon, and shifaun lima fi sudur, and the treatment, the medicine for all your diseases of hearts. But the disease of the heart doesn't mean the angina or thrombosis. But the disease of the heart are love of this world, lust of worldly belongings, the animal lust in us, name and fame, love for wealth. All these are actually the diseases, and actually most of the humanity suffers with these diseases. So to purify the souls of these diseases and to cure the souls of human souls of these diseases, Quran is the most effective medicine. But we don't know it. قَدْ جَاتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. It's another place in Surah Bani Israel, ayah number 89. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ الشِّفَاءُ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. This is the shifa. This is the cure. This is the remedy. For all your internal ills, all your internal diseases, diseases of the soul, diseases of the heart, this Quran is actually the medicine, the remedy. This is the cure. So actually purification of souls is also to be done through Quran. Now we come to the second stage of that training of the cadres for the revolution. And that is Talimul Kitab. What Kitab means here? As it means here, the law. Because you will find in the Quran, wherever something is being declared as first, imperative, you have to do it. You find the word Kutiba. Kutiba alaykum as-siyam. Fasting has been made mandatory to you. Kutiba alaykum al-qital. Now fighting for the cause of Allah has been made fard for you. It has been become mandatory for you. In the same way, kutiba alaykum iza hazara ahadakum al-maut in taraka khairan al-wasiyah. If somebody of you is dying and he is leaving some property behind him, it is imperative for him to have some wasiyah, some will. He should advise what should be done with his property. This ayah has been abrogated when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared later on what the law of inheritance. Now it's no use. It's not necessary for any person, dying person, to leave a will. If he can leave a will for one third of his property only. Rest of the two-thirds of the property will be distributed in the heirs according to the law of inheritance that has been revealed in Surah An-Nisa. But in the beginning of the Madani period, this ayah was revealed that you must leave a will before you die so that all your property is not owned by any one person. Your eldest son should be distributed. Your wife should also be given. Your parents should also be given something. The younger brothers and sisters should also have a share. So that was made mandatory. And I am quoting it here only, that the same word, kutiba. Kutiba alaykum as-siyam. Fasting has been made mandatory for you. Kutiba alaykum al-qital. Going to war for the cause of Allah is now mandatory for you. Kutiba alaykum iza hadara ahadakum al-maut in taraka khairan al-wasiyah. This wasiyah, leaving a will behind you, has been made mandatory for you. In the same way we find in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 235, ولا تعظموا عقدة النکاح حتى يبلغ الكتاب اجلہ You know, if somebody has died and there's a widow behind, now this widow has to wait for the iddah, for their time, for their period, and there can be no marriage. Nobody can marry her till that time that that iddah is completed. وَلَا تَعْزِمُوا عُقْلَةً نِكَاحَ You can give some indications that you want to marry her. These things are allowed. But you know, nikah actual, marriage cannot take place unless that iddah is complete. And here, for that iddah, the word has been used, حَتَّى يَبْلُغَ الْكِتَابُ أَجَلًا So law actually, sharia, law, the injunctions of the sharia, they are always referred to in Quran as kitab. There's another ayah, this is Surah An-Nisa 103, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا The salah is mawqoot, it is timely, it is with time. And it is kitaban alal mu'mineen. It has been made first, mandatory. So whatever has been made mandatory or first, it is, you know, denoted by the word kutiba. So by the word kitab here, وَيُعَلَّمُهُمُ kitab, it means the law. I will tell you what is the logical connection and sequence between all these three. And fourth one also let us discuss. The third stage of the training of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, training of the cadres for the revolution, that is Talim al-Hikmah. What is Hikmah? Imparting wisdom. There are certain people, as I mentioned once before also, who think that by Hikmah is meant Hadith or Sunnah. And a very big person also, a very big scholar of Islam, Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, has also given this opinion. But I beg to differ from him, and I agree with other people who say, who claim, and who prove, as I will also be giving you the example, that Hikmah is also part of Quran. All these four terms, actually, they are parts of Quran. Hikmah, because we have just a few days before, we were reading the section 3 and 4 of Surah Bani Israel. And the section 4 is the ending with the verse, ذَلِكَ مِمَّا أَوْحَيْنَا أَوْحَى إِلَيْكَ رَبُّكَ مِنَ الْحِكْمَةِ All these things are from among the hikmah that your Rabb has revealed unto you. So Quran contains hikmah. Hikmah and wisdom is also an integral part of the Quran. What I mean to say is that all these four things, Talimul Kitab, Talimul Hikmah, Tazkiyah, and Tilawatul Ayat, all four things are revolving around one single pivot or axis, and that is Quran. Because Tilawatul Ayat, everybody would say it means Quran, reciting Quran, there can be no difference. Yatlu alayhim ayatihi, it cannot mean anything except Quran. In the same way, Talimul Kitab, this is also agreed, Kitab is the book, the Quran. But people can have another opinion regarding Tazkiyah and regarding Hikmah. About Hikmah, I have told you that people think that by Hikmah is meant Hadith or Sunnah. Although Hadith contains Hikmah, no doubt. It contains a lot of Hikmah and wisdom, no doubt. But actually, Quran has all these four things in it. And all these four things have been explained further in Hadith, in the Sunnah. So actually, Quran is also complete in itself. Tilawatul Ayat means that portion of the Quran which is calling people towards faith, iman, that is yatlu alayhim ayati. That portion of Quran which deals with basic morality, that is tazkiyah. That portion of Quran which gives you the do's and don'ts, the halal and haram, the faraid, that is al-kitab. And that portion of the Quran which contains the highest wisdom, that is the fourth part of the Quran, and that is Hikmah. ذَلِكَ مِمَّا أَوْحَيْ إِلَيْكَ رَبُّكَ مِنَ الْحِكْمَةِ This is from the Hikmah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your Lord, has revealed unto you. Now what is the sequence, logical sequence? It should be very easily intelligible. If you want to change a person Islamically, you want to make him a real Muslim, real mu'min, what you have to do? First of all, examine what he believes in. What are his ideas? Does he believe in any God or not? Does he believe in the hereafter or not? Does he believe in the situation of Wahi or not? If there is something lacking on that, first of all you have to call him to the faith. Without taking this step, if you ask him, go and pray to Allah, it's a mistake. If he doesn't have belief in Allah, if he doesn't have belief in the Quran, now how do you ask him to go and pray? He doesn't believe in Allah. You know, that is the problem that most of our the aged people they have with their youngsters, the youth. They say, oh, go, why are you not praying? And they don't know that the education that has been imparted to this youth has washed from their minds the faith in Allah. There's no faith in Allah. Gala to ghot diya ahle madrasa de tera. Kahan se aaye sada la ilaha illallah. You are calling him to pray. You are saying to him it is farz. Why it is farz according to the Quran? He doesn't believe in the Quran. It is farz or it is haram according to the Quran. He doesn't believe in any revelation. So how come you ask him to abide by the rules of the Quran when he doesn't believe in them? So actually you have to analyze objectively whether he has any faith or not, whether he really believes or not, whether he really believes in Allah and his existence, his omnipresent, his omnipotent, his omniscience, whether he believes in the direction, whether he believes in the day of judgment, whether he believes in the life hereafter, whether he really believes in the hell and heaven, whether he believes in angels or God, whether he believes in the institution of Wahi or God. Actually, this is the first step. If he believes, okay. If he doesn't, call him to faith first. And wherever the faith is lacking, try to compensate it. Try to bring it up to the level, up to the bar. What will happen? When there is faith in his mind, in his heart, the attitude will change. The values will change. When the thinking is changed, the attitude and behavior must change. Because human personality consists of two aspects, thinking and acting. If thinking is wrong, then behavior and attitude and acting will be wrong. If thinking is corrected, the behavior and attitude and his deeds and actions which are emerging from his body will be absolutely and automatically become correct. So this is the inevitable result. If there is tathir-e-fikr, if the thought has been purified, the soul has been purified, the action will itself be purified. The actions and deeds and his attitude and behavior in life will be now absolutely according to the faith. Now when this has been accomplished, now if you tell him that this is halal, this is haram, refrain from it, this is haram, do it, it is farz, it is imperative, it is mandatory. Now because the ground has been prepared, it is as if the ground has been prepared, now go and sow the seed, you will get the harvest. But if you have not prepared the ground first, and you are throwing away the seed, you are wasting the seed, you won't get anything. This is absolutely logical. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِمْ So that they have real faith, real belief in Allah, and the hereafter, and the institution of prophethood. Then automatically, their deeds and actions will be purified, يُزَكِّيهِمْ And now if you tell them that this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it mandatory, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared something prohibited, haram, they will be ready. Rather, they will ask themselves the question about many things, about which the Quran has not yet told them anything. The Sahaba used to come and ask us. We shall continue this discussion in the next session, inshallah. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ